and welcome to Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's, and I'm so pleased to be with you this morning. Today I want to tell you a little bit about why we're doing this broadcast. We believe that the Word of God is really a lamp unto the feet of the believer. It helps us to see where we stand in life. It helps us to identify the troubles, the pitfalls, the traps, the potholes that may cause us to stumble. But it's also a light unto the path, not only of the believer, but of the church at large. It helps us to know which way we need to go and how we ought to prepare ourselves for the journey that is ahead. Today I want to talk about a passage which helps us to understand the full scope of what God has in store for the church. I want to look at a prayer of the Apostle Paul. This prayer is found at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Now, the Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. Ephesus is a city in where the church was founded by his ministerial efforts. He was once the pastor of that church. Paul had served as pastor for about 3 years. In fact, it was his longest pastorate. He had a heart for that church. But now he's writing to Ephesus from prison. And his son in ministry, Timothy, is now serving as the pastor of the church. But that said, his love for the people of the church is not diminished by the fact that he is some distance from the church. He loves the deacons. He loves the members. He has an understanding of some of what they go through. But his prayer, more than that, applies to the universal church. It applies to every church in every place at all times. His prayer, in fact, applies to us. It applies to my church, St. Mark's. It applies to your church. It applies to churches today. We all can learn some of what God has in store for us through this prayer of St. Paul. He prays for the development of certain ideal qualities in the church. He points us in the direction that God wants us to grow into by virtue of outlining what those ideals are, what God wants to see in the church. Let's read it. I'll be reading from the New King James, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul likens the relationship of God, first of all, in this passage, and this relationship of God and the church to that of a family that is named by Christ, in fact, the Christian family. We are a Christian family with all that that implies. The idea of family is an idea that was developed by God at the beginning of time. He developed it in Adam and Eve, and he continues that in our families today. But he goes on further and develops that into what we know of as the church. The church is in reality a family. But let's see what that means. He says that for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The first thing is that we would receive inner spiritual strength, that God would strengthen us internally, that we would receive the strength of the Holy Spirit in order to live the Christian life, in order to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish through the church, in our lives as a church, in our lives as families, in our lives as individuals. You know, the scripture teaches us that it is not by might and not by power, but by his Spirit. And God wants us to have the strength of the Holy Spirit residing within us, living within us, so that we can accomplish the things that he would have us to accomplish. If you've ever faced any difficulties, if you've ever had any challenges that you really couldn't meet, if you've ever faced mountains you couldn't climb or rivers you couldn't cross, you know that it is through the Holy Spirit that you're able to do those things that you're called upon to do, yet you don't have the strength to do. God is able to empower us by his Spirit to achieve and accomplish what we in our own strength could not accomplish. He wants that we should have the power and purpose of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. Next, that the indwelling Spirit will be the Spirit of Christ himself, showing his character. We would have the character of Christ. You know, the world has an inner, everyone in the world has an inner hunger and an inner void that can only be filled by Christ. Jesus Christ, his personality and character is someone to be desired by everyone who lives. I love that song that says, "The world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. And if I," he said, "if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." The world is hungry for Jesus. The world wants Jesus because Jesus is full of compassion. Jesus is full of love. Jesus is full of courage. His life is a hallmark of wisdom. His purposes are divine purposes. They are the highest purposes. His priorities are the highest priorities. You cannot fail if you follow Christ in all that we do. One of the problems we face in the world today is we've turned our back on Christian principles, not the principles of the church, but the principles of Christ himself. Christ's principles as to the value of human life, Christ's principles as to the value of human dignity, his love of mercy and his impartation of grace to those who need grace. And this Spirit that is to dwell within us should be the Spirit of Christ. We're going to see as we go further how important that is. He goes on to say that we would stand rooted and grounded in love. That love is agape love. That is the perfect love of God. That is the unconditional love of God. Our first experience of that love is the love that God had toward us, not necessarily our love toward God or our love toward anybody else. We strive to emulate that love. We strive to make that love a part of our lives. We strive to love like God loves, agape love. We acquainted with that because we've heard about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If no matter how well I speak, if I don't speak with love, then it's nothing but noise and harshness. And he goes on to say in that passage that love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things, and bears all things. And finally, in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. The greatest power in the universe is the power of love. We saw that in right here in America, in the American Civil Rights Movement. Dr. Martin Luther King refusing to become angry at the way the civil rights marchers were treated in Selma and elsewhere, said that the more they hate us, the more we're going to love them, because he understood something that we seem to have forgotten more recently, and that is love is the greatest power. Love, scripture says, never fails. This love, it is the operating principle of the family. We explore together the broad and deep implications of love. That's what he wants. He says that we would come to comprehend with all the saints the scope of this love, how high it is, how deep it is, how wide it is, and how long it is. This love is something that we'll never fully come to understand, not even throughout the ages of eternity. But we'll just be blessed so greatly by the experience of trying to find out more and more and more about this love. Love is the greatest political power and social force in the universe. And all of this is in honor of him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Look at what it says about God. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. You know how we sometimes want to see something come to pass, but we dare not ask for it. We ask for something quite less because we don't want our disappointments, or maybe we don't even want to expose our desires to that fullest extent. But God is able to do more than we could ask or think. But look, here is the key. He is able to do more than we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. That power is the Spirit of God himself. That power is the Spirit of love. If we have that power operating in us, it is according to the operation of that power within us that God is able to work in and through us and for us. Love is the power that will change the world. Love is the power that energizes and empowers the church. It empowers our families. It empowers us as individuals. Our lives are more powerful because our lives are full of the love of Christ. That's Paul's prayer for the church. It was his prayer then. It's his prayer now. It applies to us now. I'm joining Paul and hoping that the church becomes fully the church that God intends, by enlarging our capacity to love, loving throughout the membership, the families that are part of our churches, the neighborhoods which we serve, loving the world through our service, that we would become all that God intends for us to be. Well, this is Pastor Reggie Lawrence once again, bringing you the Word of God, encouraging you to stay close to the Word of God, stand on the Word of God, thanking God for the gift of His Word, and saying, until we get together again, keep looking up.
Believe he can So what I choose to believe can always work out fine. It's all in my mind. I'll think of his grace and imagine his life.